Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. I want to let everyone know that we are getting very, very, very much close, closest to the end of this whole situation. I feel the passion of several people who are so restless, want to be in church physically. And it's not wrong at all. You are right. He said we should forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. But the situation has kept us apart all this while. But we are at the tail end. Just shortly, we'll be celebrating and jubilating on the head of the devil. Because there is nothing the devil fears like the assembly of the people of God. But his fears will come upon him in a mighty, mighty, mighty way. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, all the way to verse 21. A very, very crucial message today. For our conversation is in heaven. A translation said, our citizenship is heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. The Lord bless his word. In Jesus' name. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from there, we await our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. Speaking on the subject, living with eternity in view. Living with eternity in view. Last Wednesday, we looked at surviving the last days. Today is more like a follow-up on that message. Now, we hear statements such as living with eternity in view. And many, many times, we don't understand exactly what the statement means. But before we go into understanding what that statement means, there are four fundamental facts about the life and existence of man that I would like us to understand. Four fundamental facts about the life and the existence of man that must be understood. Number one, man is an eternal being made in the image and likeness of an eternal God. Man is an eternal being made in the image and likeness of an eternal God. Genesis chapter 1 verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. Man is an eternal being. Created in the image and likeness of an eternal God. Number two, that's the meaning of that is everybody you see will live forever. Everybody. Everybody that has ever been born will live forever. That's the implication. Everybody who has ever been born of a woman will never die again. Number two, man's life on earth is a temporary adventure, a fraction of man's overall life. Man's life on earth is a temporary adventure, a fraction of man's overall life. That was why James said in James chapter 4 verse 14, he said, what is even your life? It is a vapor. You see, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So man's life on earth is a temporary adventure, a fraction of man's overall life. Very, very tiny fraction. Thirdly, the end of earthly life is the beginning of endless life in eternity. The end of earthly life is the beginning of endless life in eternity. Where a person ends on earth is not the end of life. It's just the beginning of another phase. Endless life. That was why Daniel said in Daniel chapter 12 and in verse 2. Daniel chapter 12 verse 2 said, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Everlasting life with God in heaven, shame and everlasting curse in eternal damnation in hell. So everyone, the end of earthly life is the beginning of endless life in eternity. Everybody will live forever after death. And that forever living is either in heaven or in hell. Finally, number four. God does not desire for anyone to be lost in hell. God has no desire for anyone to be lost in hell. God desires for people to live with him forever. He does not desire for anyone to be lost in hell. And let me make it clearer. God is not looking for who to send to hell. He's not struggling for how many people he can send to hell. It's possible to listen to messages and just hear some things that appear as if God's satisfaction is how many people can end in hell. Scriptures made it clear that hell was not created for man. In Matthew chapter 25 verse 41. Matthew 25 verse 41. He said, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire that is prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, not for man. No wonder in 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 8 to 9, 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 8 to 9 say, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Is not willing that any should perish, but at all should come to repentance. So God has no desire for the perishing or the loss of any soul. What are we saying? The greater bulk of our lives will be spent in eternity. Will be spent in eternity. So wisdom demands that we pay attention to our eternal destination, the place where we'll spend the bulk of our life. We pay attention there. Wisdom also demands that since God is interested in getting us to heaven and not to hell, to understand what we need to do to fulfill his desire, what we need to do to make him fulfill that ambition or desire or vision of having us with him. Very exciting. Going forward, what does it mean to live with eternity in view? What does it mean to live with eternity in view? Number one, living in the present with the end in mind. Living in this present time with the end of life in mind. Living in the present with the end in perspective. First Peter chapter 4 verse 7 said, the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. The end of all things is at hand. Be sober and watch unto prayer. It is living in the moment with the end in mind. You are alive today, but the end is in your mind. Number two, what does it mean to live with eternity in view? It means living and conducting our life's actions with eternity as a major consideration. Living and conducting our life's actions with eternity as the major consideration. What is that? It's like, what I am doing now, where will it end me? Not how much money can I make. Not how much pleasure can I get, but where will this end me? This action, this lifestyle, where will it end me? Living and conducting our life's actions with eternity as the major consideration. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 12 to 13, the Bible said, and further by this, verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So, knowing that everything I do on the earth has eternal consequences, earthly actions have eternal consequences. And so, where will this lead me? Where will it end me? That is one of the reasons, one of the things it means to live with eternity in view. Living and conducting our life's actions with eternity as major consideration. Number three, living with eternity in view means living in the now, with readiness and preparedness for eternity. Living in the now with readiness and preparedness for eternity. That is, you are not trying to get prepared, you are prepared. In Matthew chapter 25 and in verse 13. Matthew 25 and in verse 13. He said, watch therefore, for you know not whether, you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You don't know the day, you don't know the night he will come. Matthew 24 and in verse 44 to 45. Matthew 24, 44 to 45. He said, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. You see, be ye also ready, for in such a time, that's live in readiness, in such a time, an hour, as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. He said, blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him doing what he's meant to be doing. Living in the now, with readiness and preparedness for eternity. That is third meaning of living with eternity in view. Number four, it is living as strangers and pilgrims in the earth. Living as strangers and pilgrims in the earth. You are living with the full knowledge that this world is not your home. In 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 11, living with eternity in view, we are living as strangers and pilgrims in the earth. He said, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, as a stranger and a pilgrim in the earth. Living with eternity in view, knowing that you have a home that is beyond this place. And finally, number five, it is living in the world without forgetting yourself in the world. Living in the world without forgetting oneself in the world. Living in the world without forgetting your citizenship. Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 20. living in the world without forgetting yourself in the world. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our conversation is in heaven. From whence we look also. Verse 20, you jumped. For our commonwealth has its existence in the heavens, from which also we await our Savior. There are many people who forgot themselves. They literally forgot themselves in this world. The way they interact and do things, they just forgot who they are and where they have come from. If somebody doesn't know Jesus, you may be in the same workplace, but your citizenship is not the same. You may live in the same neighborhood, but your citizenship is not the same. It's like a British citizen, an American citizen, and another citizen from another country living in the same place. We may live together, but our citizenships are... Never forget yourself in this world. As it was in the days of Noah, the Bible said, they were eating and drinking and just making merry, and the flood came suddenly. Don't forget yourself. So, living with eternity in view means living in the present with the end of all things in mind. It's living and conducting your life's actions with eternity as major consideration. It is living in the now with readiness and preparedness for eternity. It is living as strangers and pilgrims in the earth. It is living in the world without forgetting yourself in the world. Having said all that, now what is it that constitutes readiness and preparedness for eternity with God in heaven? What is it? What is it? Number one, be born again. Be born again. John chapter 3 verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 7, he said, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it cometh, whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Be born again. John chapter 1 verse 12. But as many as received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Be born again. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23, he said, we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Be born again. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's in 2 Corinthians, he's a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Be born again. What does it mean to be born again? It is not the joining of a church. I have gone to a place to preach before, and I gave the altar call, and the leadership of the fellowship came out to give their lives to Christ because they were literally knowing about salvation for the first time. I heard from God's servant, Pastor W.F. Kumuyi, how he went, I think, to the UK many years ago and preached the gospel. And for the first time, the pastors and the leaders of the church where he preached came out to give their lives to Christ because they were understanding the gospel for the first time. We have many people in church today who are not genuinely born again. It is not the joining of a church. It is not that you were born and you grew up inside the church. It's not being baptized. Is part of it later, but not, that's not the beginning of it. To be born again, you recognize that you are a sinner. You came to the point where you know you are a sinner. And then you also come to the point where you know that you need God's mercy. You can't save yourself. You can't help yourself. And next, you come in repentance before God, asking for forgiveness, because you are sorry for how you lived. So, you recognize you are a sinner. You realize you can't help yourself. You recognize that you need to be helped by God. You come in repentance because you are sorry for how you have lived. Then you ask Jesus to save you by his sacrifice on Calvary. And then you accept him into your life as your Lord and Savior from that day forward. You accept his lordship into your life. You accept him into your life to take the center place of your life going forward. That you won't live by yourself anymore. He should live his life through you. When that happens genuinely, there is a witness you will get in the spirit. In Romans chapter 8 verse 16, he said that the spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There is a peace, there is an assurance of what we call an assurance of salvation that overwhelms you. It's clear. So it is a definite experience. It's like a child was born on a definite day. Not, you can't say what is the date of birth of this child. And you say the child was born from the 4th of April to the 25th. No, there's nothing like that. That child was born on the 4th of June, so and so year, so and so time, on the 24th of October, so and so year, so and so time, on so and so day. So it's a definite thing. I came to know the Lord first of all in the 70s, 1979. I was a young boy about 11 years old, and I didn't know anything so much, and then. Just the way children go out whenever they give altar call and those kind, and you just keep on going out. And I followed the church. But I wasn't grounded. So I slid back. That time, the experience I had, there was no way I could date that this was the date in which this happened. But in the year of 1986, on the 12th of May, I got a rededication experience that was definite and clear. And that date can't be forgotten. Maybe you are watching me today. You found yourself in church, but you cannot define whether you have given your life to Christ before. It's not too late. You can get it done today. Maybe you have done it before, but you need to rededicate yourself to God. You can get it done. Assumption brings frustration. Don't assume eternal matters. Get it done. And I believe the Lord will help us. And those of us who assist our children to get to know the Lord when they come to the age of accountability. You can assist them to get the details of when their experience happened. It may be important to them to in time to come. So, be born again. That is number one. Number two, live to please God with your life. Live to please God with your life. In our readiness for eternity. You don't live to please yourself. You don't live to please society. You don't live to please the devil. You live to please your maker. Philippians chapter 1 verse 21. Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." You live to please your maker. Matthew chapter 3 verse 17, at the baptism, the Father was testifying of the Son, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Matthew chapter 17 verse 5, he said, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Hear him. Live to please God with your life. I want to say this. The way you are living right now is giving pleasure to somebody. The question is, who is that person? Is it God? Is it yourself? Is it the devil? Your dealings with money is giving somebody pleasure. Who is the person? Can God say, "I am pleased with your life. I'm happy with you"? Or is it the devil that is happy with you? Or is it yourself? The way you dress, the way you appear. Somebody is happy. Who is that? Is it God? Is it the devil? Is it the world? Now, why is this important? Revelation chapter 4 verse 11. This is why this is important. It said, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are, and for thy pleasure they were created." For thy pleasure they are. For thy pleasure they were created. I am to exist for his pleasure because I was created for his pleasure. For thy pleasure they are. For thy pleasure they were created. So I cannot say I will dress the way I please. I will live the way I want. No. You don't have such a license. For thy pleasure they are. For thy pleasure they were created. Very important. If he created you for his pleasure, and you don't live in this world for his pleasure, how do you end? Impossible to end with him at the end. Live to please God, not yourself, not society, not the devil. Number three, live with a conscience that is void of offense. Live with a conscience that is void of offense. These things are very easy by the grace of God. Live with a clear, pure conscience that is void of offense before God and man. A clear, pure conscience. Live with a conscience that is tender and alive. Tender. The ability to know when you have done a wrong thing. The ability to say sorry to God or man when you have done the wrong thing. Acts chapter 24 verse 16. Acts 24 16 says, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience that is void of offense toward God and toward men." Do you know that even unbelievers, according to scripture, who didn't know God, have a conscience that can either accuse them or excuse them. Romans chapter 8 verse 14 to 15. Romans chapter 2 verse 14 to 15. He said, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law." You see? What the Bible says, don't do, don't steal, don't kill, don't do this. The unbeliever knows that if he steals, it's bad. These having not the law are a law unto themselves. Verse 15, "which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing them or excusing them." Holy Ghost is so poetic. Their conscience is either accusing them or excusing them. Even though they are not born again, they didn't go to church. But there is nobody who kills the person and that does not know he has done a wrong thing. None. Nobody needs to go to church to know that they stole something and it wasn't theirs. Or you lied against somebody. Conspired against somebody. There is that conscience. When you become a Christian, the conscience is more alive. It's new. That was why 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 19 said, 1 Timothy 1 19 said, "Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made a shipwreck." When you throw away your faith and throw away your conscience, you make a shipwreck of your destiny. You throw away your faith, throw away your conscience, you make a shipwreck of your destiny. When you walk contrary to conscience, you make a shipwreck of your destiny. John Wesley's father, I think Reverend Samuel Wesley, he told John Wesley, he said the inward witness, that conscience, is the greatest sign of Christianity. When you have a conscience that is alive, a conscience that is awake. Let me put it this way. A living conscience equals a healthy spiritual life. A living conscience equals a healthy spiritual life. But hear this. When conscience is dead, life is doomed. both in this world and in the world to come. When conscience is dead, life is doomed. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1 to 2. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1 to 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. When conscience is dead, life is doomed. When a person is lying and is not feeling anything, when a person is stealing and is not feeling anything, when a person is immorally involved and is not feeling anything, when a person is cheating and he doesn't feel anything, when a person is killing and he doesn't feel anything, that life is not safe. And conscience can die with three conditions I have identified. Conscience can become dead with repeated acts of rebellion. Repeated acts. When you do the wrong things repeatedly, by the time your conscience pricks you for a while, you will be left alone. A time comes where it appears normal. That's where some hardened criminals are. And conscience can become dead with unconfessed sin. Second situation. Where the person is doing the wrong thing but does not see any reason to say sorry to God or man. And thirdly, conscience can become dead with excusing, explaining away, or justifying wrong deeds. When a person is busy excusing away, explaining away, or justifying wrong deeds, the conscience can come to the point where it is dead. Beloved, what you are hearing is important so that we don't run our race on earth in vain. What shows that you are preparing for eternity, born again, living to please God, living with a conscience that is void of offense. Number four, live in the consciousness and company of His presence. The consciousness and company of His presence. In Psalm 17 verse 15, Psalm 17 verse 15, the Bible says, as for me, I will behold your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with your likeness. I shall behold your face in righteousness. If I can behold your face here, I will awake on the resurrection morning in your likeness. If I behold your face here. Psalm 122 verse 1 said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. If you don't enjoy His presence here, how will it be possible to access His presence after this world? There are people who can't stay in church for 30 minutes. They can't stay in church. Time is so slow in church. But they can watch a movie for 3 hours. They can do any other thing for lengthy time. But they can't pray for 15 minutes. They can't do anything. Just normal, nominal church goers. If you can't enjoy His presence in this life, how will you access His presence after this life? Just common sense. If His presence does not excite you in time, how will His presence attract you in eternity? Do you know that God does not bother people with what does not bother them? Where you don't have interest, you can't have harvest. If His presence in this life is not your interest, it may not be your harvest in eternity. It's very, very simple. James chapter 4 verse 8 says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Like me, I will like you. Enjoy me and I will enjoy you. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 30. He said, be part. For them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Very important. You honor me, I honor you. Value me, I value you. You don't have value for me, I will show you that I'm like yourself in that regard. Very important. You see, why are these kind of messages necessary? They keep us on track. They ensure that we don't waste our life's journey. Number 5 is live in his worship and service. Matthew Alright, let me start from Matthew chapter 4 verse 8. And the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Him only shalt thou serve. It's repeated in Luke chapter 4. Thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and him only shalt thou serve. Don't worship anyone or anything but God if you want a place with God. Don't worship anything. Don't serve anything but God. You can't serve two masters. No man can serve two masters. Either you will love the one or hate the other, or hate the other and love the one. Our God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and in verse 24. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 24. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. We cannot worship and serve self, serve the flesh. We cannot worship and serve money. We cannot worship or serve earthly achievements. We are called to the raw worship and service of God, donating our lives to the cause of his kingdom, the expansion and enlargement. Why is this important? Look at Revelation 14:13. Very important. You see? Blessed is the dead. You see, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, seeth the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. So those who are in the Lord are meant to be in the labor of the Lord. And then the last person, and their works do follow them. Whatever they did for God on earth is meant to accompany them. Their works do follow them. We are not meant to be church, just pew sitters and bench warmers. They are blessed. Finally, their labors of evangelism and labors of touching lives is over. And now they are resting. But their works follow them. Their works do follow them.
Must I go an empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior soon? Not one day of service giving, lay no trophy at his feet. Must I go an empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior soon? Not one soul with which to greet him. Must I empty-handed go? Must I go an empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior soul? Not one soul with which. is too great. Must I empty hand and go?
And their works do follow them. I've seen that passage before. The last time I saw this before now, it shook me. Their works follow them. Live in the worship and in the service, in your preparedness to meet your maker. Number six, live as his representative, as God's representative in your generation. Live as God's representative in your generation. The meaning of that is, live as an ambassador of the kingdom in your generation. Live publicly identified with your creator in your generation. It means live unashamedly for God in your generation. Let his brand marks be found on your body. Let his brand mark be found on your life. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to verse 16. Look at what Paul the apostle said. He said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Verse 16 said, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works." Let people know who you belong to, that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. Galatians chapter 6 verse 17. Paul the apostle said, "Let no man trouble me from henceforth. Let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. "But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Out of darkness. There are many people who don't have problem being Christians for as long as nobody is aware. They don't have problem being born again for as long as it is very convenient. They don't want to be identified. There are those who carry some Bibles that you have to hide under there or put it in newspaper or something. They can't bear his reproach. They are ashamed. But look at the implication. Mark chapter 8 verse 38. Why we should live publicly for him. He said, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." There is a tendency to chicken out and calm down in a world that is very hostile against God, hostile to church, hostile to church people. In a world where they enjoy castigating churches and pastors, and everybody is a devil, everybody is everybody. In such a world, it is the tendency to hide your identity. In Luke chapter 9, verse 25 to 26, Luke chapter 9, verse 25, "For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." Hallelujah. Please live for God. Number seven, lay up treasures before God. Lay up treasures. Attitude to money, actions with money affect our rating with God in time and in eternity. That's why it is very, very hard for rich people to go to heaven. That is people that money conquered. Matthew chapter 6 verse 19 to 21. Matthew 6, 19 to 21. He said, lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Show me where you are directing your resources, and I can show you where your heart is. A young girl conquered the heart of a man, and his money goes in that direction. He abandons his wife and children, and he's spending on the one who has conquered his heart. Alcohol conquered a man, and his money is there. His heart is there. Fashion, vanity. If you can show where your money goes, the bulk of your money, and what excites you to spend money on, it is clear where your heart is. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 19. 1 Timothy 6, 17 to 19 says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Why? So that they can lay up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, and that they may lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 6 verse 24. He said, no man can serve two masters. You either hate the one and love the other, or you will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Luke 16, 13. He said, and when it was day, all right, let me stop where I have stopped. Now, again, with an increasing anti-church sentiment in the world, it is possible to hear the voice of the world. Oh, church is looking for your money. Oh, this and that and that. It's easy. But the question is, if your heart is somewhere, there is no voice from hell or anywhere that can direct where your treasure goes. There are those who struggle to give a dime towards the salvation of the lost. But they can spend the whole world to enjoy their lives in the physical, in this temporal world that has no future. What I spend for the kingdom in a month, I don't think I will need that for my life in a year or for years. And it's not now, it started before now. Laying up treasures before God. Number 8, do what you can defend before God. Do what you can defend before God. Don't do things because it feels good. Matthew chapter 12 verse 37. Matthew chapter 12 and in verse 37. It says, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. The next verse, or the verse, okay, the verse before. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So there is an accounting to give before God. Romans chapter 14 verse 12. Romans chapter 14 and in verse 12. The Bible said, so then every one of us shall give the account of himself to God. Every one of us. So we have an account to give to God. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, where we read already, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Hallelujah. What is the meaning of all that I am saying at this junction? Don't do things because it feels good to do. Don't do things because you see others doing them. You are the only one that will stand before God to defend yourself before God. Except Jesus, our advocate, puts his mouth for you. There is a song we sing in vernacular.
Jesus get you me jali. Who can be my witness on judgment day? Who will be my advocate? Who will be defending me on judgment day? Jesus will be my advocate.
That kind of thing. Nobody will be there. Nobody will be there. There are people whose appearance is because they saw somebody appearing like that. Maybe the person is meant to be spiritual. Maybe he's the wife of a pastor dressing naked, literally. Yo, this one is a spiritual person. The wife of a general overseer. See how naked, see how she's dressing. If she can dress like that and still be a pastor, then it's okay. Don't deceive yourself. That man divorced his wife and he's still a firebrand. So my wife messed up, I kick you out. So it's possible to steal, divorce and remarry and divorce and remarry and do things and then live just like that because you say somebody is spiritual or somebody is whatever it is. Don't waste your time. One day I was talking to a man who said he was going to divorce his wife. After I said everything and there was no headway, I said one final thing. I said, well, if you are going to go ahead with the action, just be sure that you have enough explanation to give God when you meet him. That is, and you will convince him that this was the reason why you did this. That this was the reason why you just decided to let her go. If you are able to, that's all right. Please, don't do things because somebody did it. Don't do things because people are just do according to what is revealed by revelation of scripture and what is your conviction from scripture and what is defendable before God. Even if somebody preach a thing and your spirit doesn't agree with the statements, or you look into scripture, it doesn't look right. You are not under obligation to follow it because it was preached. Because the preacher is a person. And is subject to error. Do what you can defend before God. Number 9. 2 more and we are true. Number 9. Follow peace and love with all men. Follow peace and love with all men. Follow peace and love with all men. Romans chapter 14 verse 19. Romans chapter 14 verse 19. The Bible says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. The things which make for peace. And the things wherewith one may edify another. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 14. He said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. When you look at that passage, you are thinking that it's only holiness he's talking about. Holiness without which no man shall see the. But he started with follow peace with all men and also holiness. Without this, no man shall see the Lord. The Message Bible puts it in a clearer way. He said, you have the Message Bible? Work at getting along with each other and with God. Otherwise, you will never get so much as a glimpse of God. Get along with God. Get along with others. The good God's word by translation also says that if you have it, GW, or the Bible in basic English, you should have any of those. He said, without this, no man shall see the Lord. Let your desire be for peace with all men and to be made holy, without which no man may see the Lord. This is the meaning. Your relationship with God, as well as your relationship with people, affect your destiny in eternity. Your relationship with God, as well as your relationship with people. We preached on the trap of bitterness last week. This is a confirmatory message to that. In Mark chapter 12, verse 28 to 31, Jesus was answering somebody who was inquiring as to what it takes to make heaven. And he said to the man, unto them in his doctrine. I say verse 28. Mark chapter 12, 28. Mark 12. And one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, your soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. There is none other commandment greater than this. Go ahead. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and for somebody to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. It's higher than any offering you can give. Why is that so? Romans chapter 13, verse 8 to 12. It says, love is the fulfilling of the law. Don't owe any man anything except to love one another. One translation said, don't be in debt except the perpetual debt of love. That's why you can't pay it. For don't run up debts except for the huge debt of love you owe each other. When you love others, you complete what the law has been after all along. Now go back. All right. Okay, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love does not hurt his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So, and finally on that note, but before the final, 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If you don't love man that you can see, how do you claim? If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Please, stop playing with malice. Stop playing with bitterness. Stop playing. Husband and wife can't talk to each other. Slept in the same house. Woke up in the morning. You are going to do morning prayer, quiet time, in bitterness. Don't play with destruction. Don't play with strife. please. Well, somebody said, but there are people that are so difficult to love and so difficult to get along with. The Bible got you covered. In Romans chapter 12, verse 18, he said, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men, if it is possible. Because God knows there are some situations that may not be possible. There are situations where the person is too difficult to handle. If it be possible, as much as it is in your power, do your best. But in the situation where you have done your best, you have loved them, you have said everything that is needed, you have apologized where necessary, you have done everything, and they refuse to hear, you are cleared. You are cleared. You are cleared. Going forward, let your heart be clean towards them and proceed and fulfill your destiny. Please don't play with bitterness. Finally, look forward to his coming. Look forward to his coming. Living with eternity in view, part of it is preparing for it, is looking forward to his coming. Look forward to his coming. Look forward to eternity with God in heaven. Look forward. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 to 21. Philippians chapter 3, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are looking for him. We are looking for his return. This is not very true with many Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 22. 1 Corinthians 16 and in verse 22. If any man does not love Jesus, let him be anathema. Anathema means cursed. Then he said, Maranatha. And Maranatha means, come Lord Jesus. Welcome Lord Jesus. We are with your coming. I noticed that in the early days, it was Maranatha that was the greeting among brethren. Maranatha, Maranatha. Come Lord Jesus. We are waiting for your coming. Maranatha. It's a longing. Let me say this. All we need is for Jehovah to just give us some slight glimpses of eternity. Just some idea. The best satisfaction and pleasure, fulfillment, that money or anything can give you on earth is shadow compared with 1 second in eternity in his presence. From what I know of scripture and from what I have seen, one day I saw in a revelation in the night, I was lying on a place that I identify spiritually as the throne room in heaven. The ground was bringing worship. Everything. And I said, wow. So these songs we used to hear on the earth, Terry McCammon and some of these songs, so this is where it originated. We are talking about that place where you don't need to ask anybody, what is your name? You know as you are known. We are talking about that place where you transport to places at the speed of thought. We are talking about that place. Cloudless skies, endless days. Hebrews chapter 9. This is very important as I close this morning. Don't forget this scripture. Don't forget it. Hebrews 9, 27. And 28. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Look at verse 28. You won't believe it is in the Bible. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of the many.
And unto them that look for him
shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
Unto him that look for him. Those in whose heart there is an attraction for the real home,
he will appear to them.
Those who are at home in this world may find it hard to see his appearance. Those who see the earth as their final destination may find it hard to see his appearance. But for those who look for him, he will appear.
Now listen, don't misunderstand this. I'm not talking of those who say, I want to die. No, that's not the type. I'm not talking about that. That is suicidal. That is the thought of depression. What is this life all about? Let me just die. No.
That's the origin of that is different. I'm talking of a healthy excitement at the thought of eternity with him. Healthy excitement.
Let me tell you what many times this has happened to me. When 3 or 4 days ago, some terrorist I heard went into a community in some part of the country up north here, dealt with so many people, killed a couple. Kidnapped a mass, about 40 something people, 39 teenage girls or thereabout, and then a couple of men.
And ask the village to bring 100 million
before they will release the people.
To show that they were serious, they killed the youth leader of the community among those they kidnapped, just to let them know they are serious.
I said, Lord, why don't you do a quick walk and just finish with this wicked world and let eternity commence? Just, why not?
This wicked, cruel, terrible world of satanic overtime doing a lot of havoc and pain to people. Why don't you do quick work of righteousness? Just summarize this wicked world. Let eternity commence.
Those who will be saved, get saved and go to heaven, and those who want to follow Satan to hell, so that everything can start.
You have such from time to time. Lord, go ahead, fast forward your walk. Do it quick. Let the blissful home commence.
And it is not, it is not, let me die now, let me just die now. And it's very easy for young people to say, Lord, I need to marry first. Or let me do this and that first. It's not a bad wish. It's not bad.
We plan like we have 1,000 years on earth, but we live like we have few seconds. So we plan like, oh yes, if I had 100 days, 100 years, this is what I'll do. That's perfect. But we live like it can be any day. Because in those days, the lack of plan also was disastrous. There were those who expected Jesus to come tomorrow and dropped out of university today. Went, no need to go to school. We are in the end time. So every of these things need the balance.
Hallelujah. Beloved, it is a new season. And I believe that the Lord will help us.
What have I said so far? In readiness and preparedness for eternity, first of all, be born again. Number two, live to please God with your life. Number three, live with a conscience that is void of offense. Number four, live in the consciousness and company of his presence. Number five, live in his worship and service. Number six, live as God's representative in your generation. Number seven, lay up treasures before God. Number eight, do what you can defend before God. Number nine, follow peace and love with all men. And number 10, look forward to his coming. Be on your feet and lift your hands and let's appreciate God. Father, we honor you. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. El Shaddai, El Ayon, Rofeka, Mekadesh. Thank you because you are God.
One day, time shall stand still and be no more. When all shall end, one day, eternity
shall start for all.
Shall start for all,
both great and small,
both great and small.
One day,
time shall stand still
and be no more,
and be no more.
When all shall end,
Eternity
shall start for all,
shall start for all,
both great and small,
both great and small.
The trump shall sound,
the trump shall sound, the dead in Christ shall arise.
Forget myself in this wicked world. Lift your voice and speak to God. Help me, Lord, to be ready. Help me, Lord, to be ready. Help me, Lord, not to forget myself in this wicked world.
Help me, Lord, to be ready. 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 Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. Very quickly, I am going to lead someone to Christ here this morning. It is appointed unto man once to die. After that is the judgment. You will place your right hand on your chest anywhere you are. You are bound by a negative lifestyle, an addiction, something you are not happy with. You need the help of God. You need mercy from God. You need a touch of God. You need a change of story. You want today to be a new day. Maybe you want to rededicate your life to God. Maybe for the first time, you want to genuinely say, okay, I want to be born again. Everywhere you are, place your right hand on your chest and pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of help. Come into my life and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord, and no turning back. From today I go forward ever and backward never. Help me to live for you. Help me to do your will. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. I pray for you right now. In the name that is above every name, I ask that the hold of sin be broken off your life. The power of the adversary be broken off your life. The grace to live for God be released on you. Help from above is your portion. I call it done. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. I believe you prayed that prayer, you meant it. Our numbers, lines are on the screen. Call to surrender at dunamisgospel.org. Text your name and location to the numbers on the screen. In case you are in the city of Abuja, we'll be able to connect you. And if you are in any location near where we are, we'll direct you appropriately. But let today mark a turning point completely. Don't return back to the world. Don't return back to serve the devil. Let today mark a defining moment in your life. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father, for hearing. And thank you for answering. In Jesus' precious name. Wherever you are, we are going to pray one prayer. Father, perfect your purpose for our time now. Father, arrest the agenda of evil that has kept people away from church service, that has caused many to die prematurely into an unprepared eternity. Arrest that agenda, and we demand for immediate victory, the resumption of church services globally. Immediate victory, we demand it. Immediate victory over this plague. In the name of Jesus. Lift your voice and say after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask for the arrest of the agenda of this evil that has kept the saints from gathering together in accordance with your instruction. This plague of evil that has cost thousands to go to their premature grave in an unprepared eternity. Father, arrest this plague of evil. Establish your rule, your reign, your dominion, your authority at this time. We ask for the immediate resumption of services across the globe. In the name of Jesus,
the immediate arrest of the plague in the name of Jesus. The immediate arrest of the infections in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. We ask for the immediate arrest of the plagues. Leperete siga lama nagayada hasa. Leperete siku lama nayalala. Mashte kora dasa lefetesa. Father, 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 let this plague come to an end. In the name of Jesus. The arrest of the agenda of this evil plague that has prevented the gathering of the saints according to scripture, and that has led to many premature deaths, to an uncertain eternity. Arrest this plague. Father, establish your agenda as we ask for the immediate resumption of the gathering of the saints according to scripture from all over the world. In the name of Jesus, this agenda of evil is arrested. Immediate resumption across the world. Master Koda Lefretese Kolaba. Leperete Sina Malada Salad. Leperete Sikelina Maradaya. Father, we thank you. Because you have done it. In Jesus' precious name. I believe we shall be hearing. We have started hearing news. Positive news from around the world in many ways. I believe we shall continuously hear positive news from all over the world this week. And we believe that more assemblies around the world will be resuming in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Master. Because I would like you to go and meditate on this message. Take time, think it through, pray over it, and also pray on the points. We may just read like 4 testimonies today, and then by tomorrow, we'll continue with the testimony, 6 p.m. tomorrow, and also the intercessions. But we believe that something positive, good, and great will happen for us this week. Testimonies. This is testimony favor from Gombe. Good morning, son. I sent a text message to you of how I was coughing when I came back from River State on the 29th of April. You responded immediately, divine intervention, and instantly I felt relief. Ever since that day till eternity, the cough disappeared. Glory be to Jesus, and thankful to you for standing in the gap. Amen. For us. To God be the praise. Amen. In the precious name of Jesus. Next. Samuel from Enugu. Good evening, Sanma. On the 8th of this month, during the Hope for the Nation's prayers, the senior pastor prophesied that someone had a pain on the right side of his shoulder is healed, and immediately the pain checked back to hell. Hallelujah. Amen. Go ahead. Let's see how many we can take.
Rose from Enugu says, good morning, Sam. I want to magnify the name of our God, the great physician who has been using you wonderfully to touch lives in this world, especially in divine healing of my son, Emeka, who took ill. We read that yesterday.
All right, we read this yesterday.
Ugochukwu A from Masaka says, God is indeed a faithful God. To him be all the glory. Our FRCN staff in one of our FM stations, Umuahia, was kidnapped, and they were demanding for 20 million naira. I sent a text message across to our senior pastor, and he instantly declared divine intervention, instant release in Jesus' name. The next day,
she regained her freedom. What a mighty, mighty, mighty God we serve. We serve a mighty, mighty God. Anyone and anything belonging to you in the captivity of the enemy is released urgently. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Hassan from Lagos says, good evening, Sama. I give God the glory for rescuing me from the hands of 419, who almost duped me of the sum of 4.3 million naira in this COVID-19 period, which in turn was not my money. After I connected to a similar testimony, the money was returned intact. I give God the glory for peace of mind.
Hallelujah. Everything that the enemy took from you, I declare them released. Amen. I declare them released. Amen. In Jesus' name. Testimony from Margaret from South Africa. I return all the glory to God Almighty for connecting me to Dunamis TV. God has used your program to bless my home tremendously in South Africa. I miraculously passed an international professional exam by singing one of your songs quietly in the exam hall. I listened to your church during lockdown, and I was inspired to write a motivational book, which was completed. And I had an encounter with the senior pastor in the dream of the night, which led to God giving victory at home and at work. It is working in SAO. Daddy, please May I request for a declaration regarding that book? God bless you, Sanma. Congratulations and congratulations. What God began in you, may it continue
Amen.
In Jesus'
Amen.
Precious name. All right. You are pretty. That was the book he wrote. The Lord breathed on it in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Chukwuka C from Agbo, Delta State. Good evening, Sanma. I want to appreciate God for his healing upon my life. I had a growth on my right eyeball for several weeks as I followed the 26th April Sunday service titled The Peace of God. I partook in the communion and anointing service, and from that day the pain disappeared and the growth dried up. Thank you, Jesus. I celebrate God's grace
Hallelujah.
Upon your life, Sanma. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Give us two more. You read two more and then we'll come close.
Right. So Mrs. Oman says, good morning, sir. In your live broadcast 3 Sundays ago during the close of the service, you gave a word of knowledge that there was a particular woman who already has children and is trusting God for a particular sex. Sir, I have 2 boys already and I'm presently pregnant and trusting God for a female child. I received the word of knowledge in excitement and I wrote the date and the time. That was the 19th of April, 2020, 10:09 a.m. In faith, we named her Daniela. Every day, my 2 sons and husband called her name and prayed for her. Just 2 days ago, I went for a scan for routine checkup and it was confirmed that it was a female child.
Amen.
I'm excited. To God be the praise and God bless you, Dr. Becky, and strengthen you more in Jesus' name.
Amen. It is established and the delivery shall confirm that what they saw in the scan is confirmed.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Mrs. Cotain from Ukraine says, good morning, sir. Good evening, sir. The Lord has done a lot of things for me through this commission. When I came to Nigeria for visa, my uncle and his wife introduced me to Dunamis. From that day onwards, my life changed for the better. I took my documents to the altar, and weeks later, my visa was released. Secondly, I was diagnosed with endometriosis and cysts. The senior pastor mentioned my case in one of the services, and I believed it. I went again for the same test. The doctor could not see anything. What a great God we serve. Hallelujah. And I know this month he will visit my womb with a child in Jesus' mighty name. God bless you, sir, and my
you. Hallelujah. It is done.
Amen.
We agree now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Any testimony you just heard that you desire in your life is released for you.
Amen.
That left ear is now healed.
Amen.
That lower back condition is now healed.
Amen.
That right eye is now seeing clearly.
Amen.
I cause diabetes.
Katosha,
I cause diabetic retinopathy affecting the eyes.
Katosha.
Your yoke is broken.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Frequency of urination.
Katosha.
I curse you. From diabetes, from prostatic disease, from whatever it is, I curse you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And this COVID pandemic situation, you are cursed to your roots.
Amen.
We summon and declare all services open.
Amen.
Doors open.
Amen.
Across the world.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we give you the praise.
Hallelujah.
Father, we give you the
Amen.
Honor. Father, we give you the adoration.
Amen.
In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Very, very soon, we shall be dancing
Woo!
To the shame of the devil, to the glory of God.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Go ahead, digest that message.
Amen.
God bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine upon you.
Amen.
All the messages you've been hearing during this lockdown period, they are available, except that you may not be able to pick them. When the services resume and the offices, you can pick the CDs, the DVDs, MP3s, and many of them will come out actually in book format soon. And it's going to be a blessing to you and a blessing to the world.
Amen.
The Lord bless you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Your covenant practices, your covenant obligations is ongoing, and get details from our people on what to do and how to do it. And if you need to walk physically to the church office within the week, feel free to do so. And the Lord bless you.
Amen.
Keep holding on.
Amen.
We are still holding on and holding on in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And whether the devil likes it or not, our year 2020 is our year of supernatural shift, and the kind of shift is the one that is drastic and dramatic
and dimensional.
God bless you in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.